Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister, and this is Managing Your Boss, the 11th episode in my series of podcasts on careers. A few years ago, I asked some people what they wish they had learned earlier in their careers. One of the most common topics was about how to manage your boss or superior. It's an often neglected skill, and you need to learn it early. One of the most important aspects of it is making sure that you put yourself in a situation where you can get a reputation for quality by making sure that you understand precisely what it is that your boss wants you to do. In other words, it's making sure that you are skilled at receiving work that is delegated to you. It may sound like that's the boss's job to delegate skillfully, and it is, but it's also your job to work at knowing how to receive assignments. Whether you are being given work to do by a client or a boss, it's common that people will assign work to you badly, and that will cause you problems. How can you do what they want if they don't tell you clearly what they want? The key is to take responsibility and ask permission to ask questions. When someone gives you a task to do, say something like, "I really want to do a great job for you, but may I clarify a few things?" Most people will say yes. You can then be sure you understand the following details about your assignment. Make this a checklist that you use almost every time. First, ask for the context of the assignment. Could you please tell me what you are going to do with this beloved boss or client when I get it done? Tell me who it's for and where does it fit with other things so I know how you're going to use it and therefore can give it to you in the fashion which is best suited to your needs. This may sound like you're being a picky, but it sounds like you're truly interested and it usually will be well received. The second thing you should ask about is the deadline. When would you like it and when is it really due? Push a little bit to find out the absolute last minute when it must be done by, whilst you're still promising to do it as soon as you can. The third thing you should feel the power to press on is getting the scope clarified. You must ask your boss, "This time, would you like me to do the thorough job and take a little longer? Or this time, would you like me to do the quick and dirty version? Beloved boss, I can do either. I just need to understand precisely what it is that you wish." Number four is you should probe a little bit about the format in which your boss wants to see the results. How would you like to see the output of my work presented? What would make your life easier? Beloved boss, I want to smooth your way, so please give me some guidance or instructions on the format which you prefer best. The next thing it is okay to ask about is the time budget. Beloved boss, roughly how long would you expect me to spend on this? So I can tell whether I'm in fact being on track or not. If I'm spending too long on this, I'd like to know this in advance without wasting your time or your money. The next thing I would try to probe on is relative priority. Beloved boss, what's the importance of this task relative to the other things you have asked me to do? I'll try and do them all, but if push comes to shove, do you want me to put this one at the top of the list or put this one at the bottom of the list? It's better to risk asking about these questions in advance before you walk out of the boss's door than to try and sort them out afterwards. Now, there are some more questions that you still need to ask. You need to ask about available resources. Is there anyone available who can help you get this job done before, or are there any things available that will make it go more smoothly? For example, has the department done one of these before? If anyone knows, your boss probably does, and you can save him time and delivery and speed if you can find out ways to get it done more quickly. Something else you need to ask is, beloved boss, how will the work here be judged? Is it more important to be fast, to be cheap, or to get it letter perfect? Tell me how you will assess the output of my work. Now, if you have enough boldness left in you, and I would suggest that you should say, "Please, boss, can we schedule now a meeting, say, halfway through, so I can show you what I got and ensure that I'm on track for your needs?" Before you finish, there's a next step, which is, "Beloved boss, can I check for understanding? May I please just read back to you what you've asked me to do to confirm that I've got it down right? You'd be amazed how frequently you will need to spend time on this. I know that when I've been the supervisor, half the time I say, oh no, that's not what I meant, let me clarify. The next thing and final thing that you should check out with your boss are any concerns that you have about getting it done. Say something like, before I get started, boss, can I just share with you any concerns I have about getting this done? Can I tell you a little bit about the other demands on my time so that I don't surprise you later? Yes, your client or boss should be good at delegating or assigning work and giving all of this information anyway. And he or she may be impatient and want to rush away. But the truth is that many people won't have thought through what they really want from you until you guide them through their either-or choices. And if you don't get it clear, the chances that you will deliver quality work to them at the end of your work will actually be quite small. And of course, you know who's going to get the blame. If you don't yet know what to do, the risk of being judged a failure is high. And don't rely on the superior to give you all this information. Pull it out of him or her and learn how to phrase all of these questions with great deference and great politeness. There are many other things that you must learn to be effective at managing your boss. It also involves filtering the less important details from the important so that your manager does not feel overwhelmed with information. Part of your job is getting information to your boss that he or she can deal with and shielding them from the unnecessary details. It means that you make sure that your manager is aware of the big issues that are plaguing you and your team and possible topics that must be discussed at the management meeting that he or she attends. You need to be a good conduit of information upwards. On my blog, Arnoud Martens said that you need to show respect for the decisions from your boss that affect you. In the eyes of your boss, there's a fine line between challenging, disagreeing, and neglecting decisions. The best leaders are good followers. One way to be good at this is to begin to develop the language skill of asking questions which begin with, may I please understand precisely what you're saying, and are you resolved that this is the way we are going to do it? And ask those questions not as challenges, not as confrontations, but as indeed, I just want to make sure I understand you. Here's a story that I was told a while back about learning how to manage your boss. This person said that when he was a young consultant, a senior vice president asked him to draft a large report in several days. He came back to the senior vice president with a general outline and a number of questions. The senior vice president wasn't thrilled, didn't have the answers, and seemed to be inarticulate about describing what he didn't like about the work. So the person went back, revised it, and came back with another proposed outline and some more incisive, higher-level questions. He responded by even more unhappy with the work, and, surprisingly, even less able to explain why. In disgust, the person I corresponded with went back to his hotel room, with, it turns out, a six-pack of beer, sat down and said, the heck with him, I'm going to write what I think is right. He took it to the senior vice president defiantly the next day, who looked at it for a few minutes, smiled and said, yes, that's what I was trying to get through to you. Nice job. What the boss usually wants is you to take some initiative, to have a point of view or put a stake in the ground, to, for heaven's sake, do something. What should be taken from this experience is the power of offering up a specific point of view, of helping even your boss to envision scenarios by giving them examples rather than staying locked in some deductive guessing game. You can't guess at what your boss wants by saying, well, do you want this? Please tell me. You have to give them an example and say, is this what you want? On my blog, James Chirkoff said that the main way to be appreciated by your boss is to focus on making your boss's job easier. James provided a list of ways to do this. Number one, as something we've mentioned, he says, bring them problems which already have a few different solutions, and also with a little initial thinking and research on the different options. Don't just bring problems. James suggested that you offer to take on small tasks, volunteer without waiting to be asked. He says it's wise always to be sensitive about time, that when you need to talk to the boss, always use the phrase, "Is this a good time to talk?" He said that learning to manage your boss is being aware that you probably do not always have the full picture. You may be forming a point of view and you have the right to express a gentle opinion, but never believe that you understand things as fully as your boss does. What this also therefore means is you must fall into the habit, always a good lifelong habit, of listening more and asking questions. James Chirkov carries on with his advice. Don't be afraid to follow up opportunities on your own, but know when to check in with your boss to say, "I'm doing this, this is what I'm pursuing, is it okay?" James says, don't rely on your boss to do the quality assurance for your work. Get someone else, a colleague, an associate, a secretary, someone else to read a document before it goes to your boss. You don't want to get a reputation for sloppy work. He says that it's valid and even a good idea to try and relate to even your boss at a human level. He says it's okay to find out what they are interested in outside of work. James said he once had a boss who was very scary, but the minute he started talking about his football team, the boss completely relaxed and enjoyed a little break from the grind. This is absolutely normal. He says always remember that your boss has a boss, and try and work out the criteria by which your boss is being judged. If you know how the other person is being evaluated, you will understand their decisions. Now, this is also familiar advice that James passes on. Get to know their personal assistants, who will guide you as to when and how to handle them. And then finally, he says, share a little bit of canteen chatter, not gossip. He said, you may be privy to things that they are not, but of course, you need to be careful about this. So our thanks to James for all of those tips. Someone else on my blog also offers some advice about managing your boss. Another person on my blog, Ken Hedberg, said that to manage upwards effectively, you should tell the truth early and often. This can be really hard, and it's tempting to package new and surprising information or developments, especially those that may negatively affect performance. But give your unvarnished views, including your fears and concerns, although at the appropriate level of detail. Give positive recognition. Yes, upwards. Ken is very smart to draw our attention to the fact that appreciation and gratitude and recognition are things that we all want from those we work with, even from those who work for us. And there's no reason why, just because you are the subordinate, that you should hold back in handing out these non-financial currencies. He says your boss typically likes to get no more positive strokes than you do, and he probably gets even fewer. Do not think that your boss is not the same situation, which is starved for appreciation. It's a common feature of rising in the organization. Let your boss know when they've done something well. There's no better way to reinforce your relationship when you say thank you and well done to parts when you've worked well together. Ken also goes on to say that you should encourage your boss to ask for feedback and then have the courage to give them accurate feedback when asked. It's hard to give good feedback to someone with the power of the purse strings over your department and career, but your boss cherishes feedback just as much as you do and most likely gets even less. Another commenter on my blog, Liz Zitzel, says the number one rule is, when your boss blows it, cover for him. Make him look good. An example she gives. She says that she had a boss who was nowhere to be found during a meeting with a potential client. Instead of having the personal assistant call with some lame excuse, she took the initiative to go to the meeting in her place, telling them that her flight was unavoidably delayed. Actually, she had just forgotten. I kept the client interested, she says, and happy until the boss came in an hour late to the meeting. Before she could speak and make herself look bad, I asked how the trip was from Heathrow. She picked up the cue and rolled with it. Brilliant. Result? We got the client. The unintended result? Years later, the lawyer who chaired the meeting remembered me as the person who made it happen. That person now refers 10% of my business to me today. I second the comment about getting to know PAs. The PA can tell you if they're in a magnanimous mood today or if they're likely to shoot everything down. Another one of my commenters on my blog offered an additional really valuable insight. Sean Callahan from Australia said that to manage upwards effectively, you should work out how your boss likes to receive their information and modify your natural tendencies to deliver it that way. For example, if your boss just likes bullet points, yet you like expansive descriptions, modify the way you communicate with her in a bullet point kind of way. That's very similar to what we said at the beginning of this podcast, which is getting instructions from the way that your audience wants to hear things rather than the way you like to provide them. Brendan Connolly on the blog said that one way that he has found works well is to commit to brief weekly status reports. The idea is to keep it brief, but to have a record across time of what's on your plate and what kind of fires you're putting out and the problems you're solving. It's proactive and keeps your boss in the loop. Your boss is automatically kept up to speed on your issues, and that makes them look better when their boss asks questions. The report helps you track down your outstanding issues. It provides subtle performance pressure for you, since it's easier to see how issues have progressed. Interestingly, Kathleen DeFilippo says that to manage upwards effectively, you should respect your manager enough to disagree when he or she is wrong. In private, of course. You need to find out your boss's pain points or where their challenges are, and then do what you can to eliminate them or mitigate them. You truly must come across as somebody who is trying to serve the boss's interest and make their life easier. When you or someone on your team makes a mistake, then wise management of your boss is to tell your boss about it before somebody else does. You need to take responsibility for your actions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Finally, here's another story I was told, a little bit repetitive, but it sums up all the messages of this podcast. Apparently in the past, there was an MIS manager with a large grocery wholesaler retailer. The chief information officer said in a meeting that he wanted to begin the practice of completing project postmortems at the completion of every project. Meeting after meeting, he used the term project postmortem as if it was some industry standard, generally accepted process that could provide a lot of data about what went on while executing the project. As it turned out, the project that the junior person I was talking to was running was nearing completion, and the CEO said that he wanted to see the postmortem report on his desk in 2 weeks. Now, up to the point, the junior had no idea what a project postmortem report was supposed to look like. He tried to do some research. This was before the internet days. He asked co-workers and friends. Some gave some ideas, but most had no idea. He was concerned that he would miss the mark, but did not want to look stupid by simply asking the CEO what it should contain. Notice that if you can ask earlier, as we said at the beginning of this podcast, but if you don't ask at the beginning, it gets harder and harder to clarify what you don't understand once you have accepted the assignment. So this person sat down and asked himself, if I were the CEO, the recipient, what would I want to know about successful and failed projects? How would I use the information? From there, this person developed an outline and then filled in the facts. It included information about the strengths and the weaknesses of the team, the clarity of the users in defining requirements, the timeline, the budget information, and an honest assessment of what went right, what went wrong, and the lessons learned the next time. He came in early to make sure it was on the CIO's desk when he came into work on the designated due date. He did not want to hand it to him personally, just in case it wasn't even close to what the CIO was looking for. In the early afternoon, he was summoned to the CIO's office. Now, on that long walk to the CIO's office, he started to consider his defense. Everything he said was accurate. He could have shared his thoughts around the content. Oh, you mean that kind of postmortem report, etc. When he got there and sat down, he started leafing through the report, and he could see that the CIO had really read it cover to cover, as there were notes in the margins throughout. The CIO finally said that this report was exactly what he wanted to see. He said that it not only proved the value of the project, but the lessons learned could be applied on new projects. He was so happy with the report that he asked this person to distribute it to the entire staff to be used as a template to be used for all future postmortem reports. So what's the lesson here? The lesson here is you will frequently in business have insufficient information about what you're supposed to be doing. A large part of getting on with business is having more to delegate with to you than in fact you may necessarily have done in the past. That's how you'll grow. That's how you'll learn. But what got this person through it was the willingness to say, okay, if I were the boss, what was it that I would want to see? And it was that thought process not only that enabled the person to do a great job, but to grow his or her own career. Take the initiative. Propose what you should be working on. If you're feeling like there's not enough work to do or way too much to do, it's ultimately your responsibility and not your manager's. Managers are getting orders from their superiors and are trying to manage both their bosses and you as well. They need some help in organizing, setting agendas, and understanding how much and how little should be delegated to you. The final summary is, be one less thing that your manager has to worry about today. This concludes Managing Your Boss, the 11th episode in my podcast series on careers. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaister.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.